Everyone, and welcome to Minute 130 of Season 3 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast, where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1988 Bruce Willis action flick Die Hard, one minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me to sort of close off the week, or close off the weekdays of this week, because we will have two special episodes tomorrow and Sunday, is Richard Kirkham of Kirkham A Movie A Day and the current host of the Lampcast. Welcome back, Richard.
Hey, come out to the coast. We'll have a few laughs.
I always loved that line. I think I mentioned it earlier when we actually had the line that I remember when this movie was on HBO and they, you know, you'd have all the commercials for the movies that would be coming up, you know, in the next few days or whatever it is, or even the month before. And they always had that line where, you know, where John McClane says, come out to the coast, come out to the coast, we'll have a few laughs. And then right after that, they have like this major explosion. So whenever I hear that sound, you know, when like, for instance, when you just said, you know, come out to the coast, I was expecting to hear, you know, a loud explosion right afterwards.
Boom.
Exactly. Exactly.
Sorry, I didn't provide sound effects for you.
Well, you didn't know. You didn't know. Maybe in post-production, I'll do that.
I'll fix it in post.
There you go. Exactly. So minute 130 begins with the credit for the third grip, because we saw two of them yesterday, and ends with the credit for the first of John McTiernan's assistants. So we're once again doing a very deep dive into the various people that are credited in this movie. There are hundreds of people on this list, so we're obviously not going through everybody. That would be way too much. That would take too long. I don't think people really want to listen to it unless you were one of these hundreds of people who was on the movie. But, you know, do you usually sit and watch credits of a movie?
I always sit through the credits and always have, because I know that those people, you know, they're not making as much money as everybody else. What they're getting is a little bit of credit, and it's nice to do that. I wish I could say I paid a huge amount of attention to it. I do it out of politeness more than anything else. Plus, I like listening to the music at the end of a movie, kind of let it absorb and wash over me. But I do look occasionally for, you know, particular kinds of credits. But I've years ago, We were watching one of the Twilight movies, I think it was, and we had gone to one of the midnight screenings. It was an advanced screen, you know, not an advanced screening, but one of those preview screenings that they have on Thursday nights. And they stopped the movie during the credits because it was the last screening of the night, and they were done. And I went out and made them start it again because my daughter had a friend who had a production assistant credit in the movie.
Wow.
And we wanted to see their name on screen.
Oh, wow.
So I went out and yelled at them and said, hey, you're contractually obligated to run the credits. We want to see the credits. And they went back and they, you know, they scrolled back because it's, you know, everything's digital nowadays. And they ran it for us.
Right. They said, damn, I want to go home.
Yes. Well, everybody else had gone home at that point. But, you know.
Yeah, I've been in theaters by myself at the end. That does happen. Even in like Marvel movies, you know, I don't understand that. Sometimes people, you know, there are certain movies, you know, that there are going to be
a stinger. Yeah.
Some sort of stinger there. And more than half the theater always gets up and walks out. You know, they just don't realize, you know, that they should be waiting for something else. I don't know. So then we get all the special effects men. We get the special effects people, excuse me. You have the special effects foremen, and then they have special effects assistants. There are 14 special effects assistants in this movie. You know, and then I loved the final credit right after of the special effects team. It says special effects transportation. So I guess that's the bus driver.
Or if they maybe got 14, it's the guy who's carrying the explosives.
Maybe. That could be. And, you know, then we continue with other effects credits, you know, the visual effects and stuff like that. One of the things that I love here is as you go through it, you see that you have all the model makers, Okay, you have the chief model maker and then the model construction foreman, and then you have six model makers. And then right after that, you have what's known as a standby model maker. And I was trying to figure out what that means. Do you have any idea? I'll preface this by saying I did not find an answer.
I assume it was somebody who was on set when they were not on set, but who fixed things when they were shooting the models. So not somebody who built the models and designed them, but when they were shooting them, when they were photographing them, if there was a problem, they had to fix it. I would assume that's the
Yeah, okay,
person.
I would agree with you that, that's the assumption I came to. Because
That's just a
it just
guess.
sounds really funny to say that he's on stand that he's the model maker who's on standby. You know, he's the guy who's standing there on the side, and if one of the model makers gets injured, you know, he takes over for him.
If one of them cannot fulfill their
That's right.
duties, then the second runner-up, Miss Congeniality, will take over.
Alan Foucher, who is also, he was he mostly does visual effects in miniatures and stuff like that. Sometimes in the model department he worked in. He worked on Independence Day, Armageddon, Die Hard, obviously. He has 16 visual effects credits, a lot of times either models or miniatures and stuff like that. He also was he has one credit as a from Space Camp. He's known as Shuttle Maintenance.
Oh, he's on
Yeah,
scene,
apparently.
on set. Yes, they are.
So yeah, I found that to be quite funny. And then we continue going along, and we get the second unit director, which I mentioned earlier is also the unit production manager. It's the exact same person. You know, once again, someone's getting a double credit, which if you weren't doing it the way that we're doing it, most people wouldn't notice that someone gets a double credit. You know, because it's Bew Marks. We talked about him a few days ago, and then we get a lot of the construction people who we know about the construction people from earlier in the movie because when Al drives his car into the construction site, so on the big sign that talks about that they have names of a lot of people on the construction team of the movie, and also when John is searching for Holly's name in the directory. So some of those names come up also. And then when John is talking to Bill Clay and looking up at the board of where everyone is in the building, so some of those people are listed there too. The one that always jumps out at me is Bob Gfeller, which every time I see that name on the on screen makes me laugh because it just doesn't sound like a real name. Even though it is, no offense to you, construction coordinator Bruce Gfeller, but you know, I thought it was just some sort of joke that they, you know, misspelled the name.
I think it's the combination of those letters at the beginning that make it
Yes,
sound
the
fake.
GF.
I was talking with Jay one time, who is was the previous host of my
Yeah,
podcast.
friend of the show,
And I
Jake
mentioned that
Blue.
we'd gone to I mentioned that we had gone to a movie in Pflugerville, which is here in Texas, and Pflugerville starts with a PF. And he says, that sounds like it's a made up name. Like there isn't he says, that sounds like something from a movie, not a real place. Pflugerville, like
Exactly.
Gefeller.
So yeah, it's fun to see it. And then we get the set dressers, the illustrator, the production, and then the way that this minute ends as the screen stops, right? So we have the production coordinators, the assistants to Lawrence Gordon, who was the producer, the assistants to Joel Silver, and the assistants to John McTiernan. Okay, so I actually looked in a little bit to who all these people are. So the production coordinators, there are two women named Dana Lynn Taylor and Elizabeth Galloway. So one of them was the production coordinator on this movie, Predator, Hunt for Red October, Sleeping with the Enemy, and The River Wild. And the other one, Elizabeth Galloway, was the production coordinator on Die Hard, The Sure Thing, The River's Edge, Mr. Mom, and Stand By Me. So I thought that was pretty interesting. Do you know what a production coordinator does?
I'm sure it's another logistics kind
it's
of thing.
Someone who coordinates
Where,
production. There you go.
yeah, you know, it sounds reductive to say so, but they're probably a step above the people on set, but below the production designers.
Right. Okay. So basically the production coordinator, which is the official name is the production office coordinator. So it's abbreviated as the POC, you know, which I guess also is person of contact, you know, point of contact. You know, they serve under the production manager, producer, and or the UPM, which we talked about earlier this week, to coordinate the various groups and personnel that are needed to make the production work. It is a supervisory position to the production assistant staff. This person must have adept organizational skills, resourcefulness, and the ability to handle a multitude of tasks simultaneously under often high-pressure situations. They serve as the gatekeeper of company policy and are responsible for ensuring that rest of the production crew follows the requirements of the production company or studio. The duties of the POC are often undefined, and it's extremely varied, ranging from office manager to human resources to controller to accountant. It is one of the few positions on a movie set that no longer has a scale or set wage. Okay, most of them are hired on an on-call weekly status and are basically paid a flat rate per week, no matter how many or how few hours they must work. Their days can range from an 8-hour day to a 16-hour day, and they are often the first person in the office in the morning and the last person to leave, since they hold the responsibility of tending to the needs of the entire crew.
They make sure the coffee's there in the morning.
Yes, and they make sure to clean up the coffee at the end of the day. Exactly. And then we have the assistants to the two producers. And then we have the assistant to John McTiernan, who is a woman named Carol Land. Now, I found this out earlier in the show. I think it was actually during the first week that I found out who Carol Land was, and I was shocked. Do you want to give a guess without trying to look how she is connected to John McTiernan?
Is she a family member?
Sort of. I'll say sort of, because she is actually, according to the information that I have, she is John McTiernan's ex-wife.
Ex-wife, huh?
Yes.
You work together long enough with somebody, you're going to be an ex.
Exactly. It just defines really... no, but I'm saying at the time that they made the movie, she was his ex-wife.
The ex-wife, yeah.
You know, which I found to be very interesting. I mean, they were married from 1974. According to IMDb, they were married from 74 till, and then it has a question mark. They don't, you know, no one filled in till when. But his next wife, he was married from 1988 to 1997, which means that at some point, you know, they got divorced. Maybe he got divorced because McTiernan already started using the other one as his assistant, you know, in the movie before. But she was also his assistant in The Hunt for Red October. So it means that she was still his assistant after they got divorced, which is somewhat baffling. You know, I don't know the entire story and stuff like that, but it's something sounds very strange about it.
Yeah, it is a little bit odd. I try to remember, I think Bogdanovich had a similar kind of situation with his first wife that he left for Sybil Shepherd, but they continued to work together on a couple of other projects after that. I could be wrong about that, but it seems like I read that someplace.
Okay, it's possible. It's possible. But again, it sounds really strange that, you know, he would have his, first of all, that he would have his, if they were even married at the time during when he did Predator and Die Hard. So it would also be strange that his, you know, assistant would be his
I wonder wife. If it was just a way for him to pay alimony.
That's possible.
I'll list her as my assistant, and possible. Then that money goes directly to her instead of my head. I'll bet it, there's a fiduciary element to this somewhere.
It's very possible. That's a good point. I never thought about that one. Because also, John McTiernan has a connection to the child actor who plays John and Holly's son, Noah Land.
Well, it sounds like he's their son.
But it's not, IMDb doesn't list him as his son.
Huh. I wonder if he's a stepson.
I don't know, but it's the same. It could be his stepson. It could be a nephew.
Yeah.
Anything's possible. It sounds as if he is somehow related. But I don't know. He didn't come back in Die Hard 5. playing John Jr. Jack, or whatever you want to call him. Right. And that's all I have to say about this minute. Do you have anything else you want to say about it? Okay. All right. So one of the things that has been most controversial about Die Hard over the last 34 years is the fact is Die Hard a Christmas movie or not? Now, I know we touched upon this a little bit at the beginning of the week. So I sort of think that I know your response here. But regardless, Richard, do you think that Die Hard is a Christmas movie or not? And, as a former professor, you should make sure that you show your work.
Okay. Well, I do think that Die Hard is a Christmas movie. Regardless of whatever data you have about the presence or absence of Christmas-related items like decorations, Christmas gifts, songs at the time, the themes of Die Hard are very much Christmas-related in the same way that It's a Wonderful Life is a Christmas movie because it's about or A Christmas Carol, because it's about redemption at the holidays. And that's a theme that is continuing in almost all Christmas-themed movies, and that's what this movie is about. We've got the redemption of Holly and John's marriage. We've got the redemption of Al in this particular situation. We get a chance to see what life would have been like if they'd made different choices. It's not exactly an angel intervening, but there are, life.
Where's Clarence when you need him?
There are life altering moments here. And, I think that, Ellis wanted to go home to his cookies and carols with a certain kind of holly wrapped around his Christmas pole.
Richard.
Sorry. Hey, I kept it PG-13.
That's okay. That's okay. No, that's good. That's good. Very, very nice innuendo.
Hey,
very, 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 very befitting Harris Ellis. I think that he would have enjoyed that that little pun.
Yes. Like I said, it's Powell and Holly are characters that are seeking redemption. John, of course, is the main character who's trying to redeem himself in his wife's eyes. Holly, of course, is in the situation. She's got the same situation with John that's problematic, but she's also got to kind of – she has to take over in the death of her boss in that situation. And Powell, of course, we get backstory, and at the end we get that chance at redemption that's going on there. Hans and Thornburg are the Marley and Potter of Die Hard. So if characters from other Christmas-themed films or stories fit into this narrative here, then we've got those two characters to tell us that this is a Christmas story. We've got villains that are... they don't care about relationships. They don't see other people as being important. They are very selfish in the way that they're going. And we know that they're even though they're given a chance during the holiday season to redeem themselves, they don't.
All right. That's a great way to put the whole thing. Thank you very
You're
much
welcome.
For putting that all together, for being one of the final people who's going to actually have a chance to discuss this this particular subject. So I think you put it all together really well. And we'll have to wait until Sunday to find out, what the tally is between all of my guests, how many think that it is a Christmas movie and how many think it isn't, So we'll have to stick around for two more days. So once again, Richard, do you want to tell people how they can find or get in touch with Richard Kirkham?
I'm easy to find online. Kirkham A Movie A Day is my site. It's there are two sites. The content is basically the same. One is a WordPress site. That's at kirkhamamovieaday.com. And the other is a Blogspot site. That's kirkhamclass.blogspot.com. The Blogspot site has clearer links to my other projects because I have four or five other projects that I'm doing as well. But on my site, by the way, I like to promote a little bit. My rule is if I saw it in a theater, you'll read about it there. So that's kind of what I do there. And I'm the host of the Lambcast, which is a weekly podcast that Movie Rob has appeared on numerous times and will be substituting for me on occasion once in a while. So he's done a good job. And of course, he's another important member of the Lamb community. So you can find us at the Lamb largeassmoviesblog.com as well.
All right. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter, or you can go directly to my website, movierobminute.com. So, Richard, thank you very much again.
You're more than welcome. I had a good time doing this. It was great.
I'm glad. And I'm glad you enjoyed talking about credits also, not just action scenes that happened, even though we did get a big action scene at the beginning. We got the final action scene of the movie in the first minute of this week on Monday. So I appreciate that. So thank you very much for that, Richard. So just reminding everybody once again, tomorrow there will be another episode. We will have the penultimate episode of season three. And then on Sunday, we will have the final episode where my guest and I will go through all the tallies of every one of the three segments that we've discussed throughout the course of this season, and we will reveal what's going to happen on season four, which should begin the following day on Monday. So stick with us, keep going, and until tomorrow, when I'll be back, even though Richard won't. Yippee-ki-yay!
Yippee-ki-yay, everybody!